Blog Talk Radio.
Sports. It's what inspires all school children to believe that they are the best in the world.
Well, I'm the best corner of the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to.
Through all the ups and all the downs.
Down goes Frazier. And down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
And now, what you've all been waiting for all week, it's Saturday Night Sports with me, your host, the captain, along with Brother X, Seth, and the one and only Coach Viper.
Holy shit, it's Viper.
Now sit back and enjoy the one thing that really matters to Americans, and that is sports. The program. I'm your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise. We're now on Saturdays. We forget about all the evil in the world, and if you have been paying attention to just one-tenth of it, you will know just exactly how much evil there are or there is in the world. But we don't talk about that here. Why? Because we talk about things that really matter to Americans, and that is sports. We put politics to bed. We turn out the lights. We do not discuss that crap. You do not mix sports and politics. You don't mix politics with anything. Period. You just don't do it. Politics is politics and everything else is everything else. Well, tonight we're going to talk a lot about the NFL draft. There's a lot of stories, and there always is. Last year had no stories. This year, they're starting to develop. And there's all kinds of things going on. This is going to be an exciting year. I do want to announce, now, there's a kid to be drafted. His name is Jackson Kirkland. When I was a kid, he was around the way. Everybody knew him. I remember him when he was actually a short, fat, dumpy kid. By the time this guy made it into high school, he was a beast. Everybody knew him. Well, he, you know, went to University of Washington, played at the Rose Bowl. I think he was All-State 4 years in a row. Well, his son now, Jackson Kirkland, is in the draft, and I've been watching it, and here we are towards the end of round 7, and he hasn't got there yet. He's ranked 177 overall. But you got a kid at that age, okay, you know, you might want to take a chance on, because those kids are not even fully grown yet. So he's got a lot of room to grow. He can only get faster, he can only get stronger, and he can only get bigger. And, you know, why not? Some of these other Jack White I've seen, I mean, I don't know what's going on. But there's always going to be a bust. There's always busts, and I think this year, I think there's going to be a lot of first-round busts, a lot of weird decisions. Houston, I got to give Houston credit for trying. Now, whether that trying is successful or not, I don't know. But you got to give them credit for trying. They have been trading and trading and trading. They're losing every draft pick for the next 50 years. But they're trying to do something this year, and, well, who knows if it will work or not. I don't know where my crew is tonight. Is this Saturday, is it not? Let me see. Let me double check. Yep, there it is, Saturday. Not uncommon for me to lose a day or two. Matter of fact, I've lost a week once before. I don't know how that, because I don't pay attention. I don't care what day it is. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care what time it is. Never matter to me. Time and date, I never cared. Screw it. Come on, Jackson Kirkland. Come on, round 7. Now, my computer is going acting up. I don't know what the hell's going on here tonight. Maybe they tried calling in and can't hear me. I don't know. Well, if anybody could hear me, phone number to call in, 563-999-3496. I love saying Niner. That's why I say it. I don't really care. But Houston, you know, again, they really want to do something. I just don't know if it's – I mean, they just seem – they're going scorched earth. And they don't have really enough to make it to the Super Bowl, but they're trying to go to the Super Bowl this year. Well, hey, look, who knows? At least they are trying. You know, you got to give them credit because a lot of these teams don't even try. And that's what pisses me off is when you got a team that just doesn't care. Could care less. They don't care whether they win or they lose. It's a tax write-off to these owners. It is pathetic. Well, we've had some good picks. I think Seattle has done real well. I know Houston, you've actually done really well. The guy you drafted, the quarterback, well, I don't know. I still got question marks on C.J. Stroud. Listening to him speak, well, not exactly a Mensa candidate, but is he athletic? Well, sure. Yeah, he's athletic. But does he have the cognitive skills to be a quarterback? Not everybody can be a quarterback. I mean, those skills you need to have, and it needs to be instinct, and it needs to be this, and it needs to be that. And there's a lot of things because the game is a lot faster than it is in college. Obviously, you can see if you watch both. You don't need to be a football player yourself to tell that college is slower than the pros. The pros are bigger. The game is different. It's played different. There's a different mentality. Everything is different about it. But you never know in the NFL or in baseball or in any sport. I mean, look at all the guys that, you know, weren't supposed to be and then they were. And then look at all the guys that were not supposed to be and then were. And those that were supposed to be were not. I get myself confused trying to say that. But you never know. Time is the only thing you can judge a player by is the time. If by 2 years, the second year coming in, by the end of the second year, if it's not there, it's not there. First year, okay, some guys, you know, take a little while to warm up. Okay, you're coming from a new league, you're playing new stuff, it's just that, it's everything else, and blah, 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 there's all kinds of stuff going on, and you never know. But at the end of the second year, you can be able to tell if the guy has it or he doesn't. You know, and you just never know. Now, some guys look like they're not going to do anything, and then they get traded, and blah, 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 and then next thing you know, they find their way. Sports is funny like that. You don't know. You can't predict anything in sports. You can guess. You can guess. Sometimes you're right, and, well, sometimes you're not. But, well, let's see. Let me get back here to the draft tracker. Come on now. I want a hometown kid. I want to announce the hometown kid. Okay, Seattle. Seattle's got the pick right now. 237th overall pick. He is an offensive tackle. And they need one. The pick is in. They need anybody on the line. They need as much offensive line. Everybody needs an offensive line. You can never have enough offensive linemen. I don't care. Nope, Seattle did not pick him. Kenny McIntosh, running back from University of Georgia. God, you know, Seattle has drafted like three running backs. What are we doing by drafting all these running backs? What did Walker quit? Is he gone? I mean, I don't mind having, you know, a couple running backs, but, you know, these are draft picks. You've got enough running backs. I mean, they've already got a whole bunch of them. And now you're drafting three of them? Come on, man. Boost up that offensive line. We need defense, too. Everybody needs defense. Everybody needs everything, if you think about it. What team can say, oh, no, we're fully satisfied, even the Chiefs? I mean, yeah, they're well-stocked. But you ask them, well, what do you need? Oh, I need this, I need that, I need this. Well, you're never going to be satisfied in sports. You can never have enough players. And even if you do, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win. It just means you got a lot of players. All right, well, looks like the Dolphins went offensive tackle. You could have got Kirkland, but you didn't. Well, so Ryan Hayes out of Michigan. Michigan? You dud. Harbaugh. Ah. I'm not a hater. I'm just, you know. He is a good a college coach. I do have to give him credit, and that's where he belongs. He belongs in college. He fits better there. He's, you know. He's got that right kind of energy for a college coach. Pros, well, he did all right, I mean, but, you know, he did go to the Super Bowl, lost to his brother, but he still made it to the Super Bowl. So whatever it is, I'm not a hater, but I just want to announce a hometown kid, man. Come on, give me my opportunity. Well, who knows? I don't know where my crew is tonight, and I'm losing my voice, too. God, this is a terrific night. Let me see if I can text these guys and find out what the hell's going on. Oh, do. Hopefully they come back in. I mean, I could talk forever, but, you know, I like to have at least a little bit of banter. So if somebody is listening, again, the phone number, 563-999-NINER, which I love saying that, 3496. Talk about the draft. Talk about hockey. Talk about my hometown, Seattle. I mean, hey, look. They're in the playoffs right now, and they're doing pretty good. Let's see. I can't remember who they're playing tonight. Oh, tomorrow, actually. They play tomorrow night. So let's see, where is this schedule? Come on. Yeah, they're still playing with Colorado. 9:30 at night, my time on the East Coast. That's late. I hate having to, you know, they never start the game on time. So it's like 4:30 in the morning and you're finally, you know, in the game. Oh, God. Got to go to work, you know. Well, hopefully Seattle does pretty good. I hate the Avalanche. Don't like them. Can't stand them. Hope the Kraken cracks them. That's what I'm hoping for. Oh, my God. Excuse me. Well, Max Duggan, quarterback out of TCU, goes to the Chargers. Why would you? The Chargers should have been really good last year. I don't know what really happened. I know they won, 10 games, but they should have won a lot more. I'm hoping that they, you know, work those bugs out. And, you know, I love Herbert. I think a lot of people do. I mean, what's not to like about him? I mean, Burrow, what's not to like about the guy, you know? I mean, you want to, you know, even if it's not your team, you want to see him do good because you just like the guy. And you like the way they play. So you want to see him do good. I mean, that's just, you know, natural. So, all right, Steelers are on the clock here. Jaguars got their pick in. The Jaguars, again, speaking of the Jaguars, oh, man, this team, I think, is going to be I think it's going to be the team to beat. I really do. I think, I hate to say that. Now I'm going to jinx them. But, I mean, look what they've been doing. I mean, they just, and they're so free now about the way they play. This is what I love about the way they play. They're very loose. You know, they're not tense. They're not, you know, they're very loose because they're confident. If you're confident and you know you can do it, you know you're good, and whether you win or you lose or whatever, you know you're good and you're loose and you're out just doing it. If the other team beats you, well, then that means they just beat you. But this team seems to grow better every game. Lawrence, he seems to get better. He learns quick. The team is starting to learn. And, yeah, they only won 9 games last year. They won their last 5. They ended the season winning 5 in a row. Well, they started getting their things together even when they lost. They didn't lose by much. They lost a couple of heartbreakers. And the good teams. So, and they did get to manage a playoff win. But, hey, look, the team is growing. Tennessee went with Levis. Tennessee, you know, really was not that bad of a team. But they just, you know, there were certain things that just they couldn't do it. They relied too heavily on Henry. Which Henry's getting older. I don't even know if he's still on anymore. I don't know. But, hey, you know, Levis, it might be the right team. I mean, if he gets a good – here's what Levis needs. He needs a good quarterback coach. That's what every team needs is a good quarterback coach. You don't have a good quarterback coach, you don't have a quarterback. You know, some guys, you know, were able to pick up the system and do it, but they still had good coaching. Doesn't matter. Joe Montana, I mean, look at Brady. Look at the coaching he had. And look, how many rings does he have on both of his hands? I mean, the guy's going to have to start putting the friggin' rings on his toes here pretty soon. Even though he's retired, I mean, my God, the guy's got every record there is to have. He's got a record for having the most records. Ugh. And this whole story about him coming back. God, would I love to see that? Yeah, I think anybody would. But, you know, I mean, the guy is 45, but could he handle it? I'm pretty sure. I would not bet against him. Let's put it that way. There's no way I would say, no, for sure. He would not succeed if he was on the right team. Now, what are you going to do if he goes over to Miami? Just get rid of Tua? Well, he's going to get rid of himself because we know he's going to get hurt. But I think, you know, I think Tua might have – these injuries might be worse than what they're really saying. And, you know, I'm sure if you're Miami, you got to have a little concern. But if you go out and you draft a high prospect quarterback and, you know, that's not going to – you know, that's going to look bad. And so they can't do that. So they're stuck with Tua, and when he does play, they do win. I mean, I'm not a Tua fan. I'm not a hater, but I'm just not a fan. But when he's playing, they do find a way to win, and that's what the whole game is about, is winning, not losing. You don't play to lose. But he does get injured, and I think those concussions and what they did to him last year, I'm still pissed off at that. The guy collapsed on the friggin' field. You drag him into the locker room, you give him a couple of shots of whatever juice, and he's back out there? Are you kidding me? There's no way you could not have known that his squash was damaged. He had a concussion. There's no way you could possibly not see the man had a concussion. If you've ever had a concussion, you know what I'm talking about. And most of the guys that are watching this have had a concussion. A lot of people have had concussions, you know. And you collapse? Ugh. I mean, that was stupid. And, yeah, they should have fired the head coach, too. Like, why would the head coach put him out there? Why would the offensive coordinator put him out there? Nobody stood up and said, no? Yeah, you're going to fire the doctor for clearing him? You don't need a doctor. You need common sense. But I doubt very seriously that Brady is going to be playing for the Dolphins. Well, let me ask him. Okay, well, here's a scenario. Here's a scenario. Imagine week one, week two, week three. Tua goes down and he's out for the rest of the year. Will they're back up? Come on. No, not going to get her done. Well, Brady lives in Miami and, you know, they're, you know, number one went down and we need somebody. Hey, Vinny Testaverde did it with the Jets. Vinny and the Jets. So if Vinny Testaverde can do it, I'm pretty sure Tom Brady can do it. But, I mean, that's just me. I'm not an expert on sports, but, you know, I do have my opinions. I don't think it's going to happen. But it would be fun to see, but I just don't see it happening. But it would. And if he did come in, all I'm saying is I would not bet against him. I would not at all ever bet against him. All right, now the Giants pick is in. Green Bay with Anthony Johnson Jr., safety out of Iowa State. Well, I think overall, Detroit, I guess a lot of people are giving Detroit, yeah, they did screw up their draft. But see, that's Detroit. Detroit doesn't know how to do anything but screw it up. Cleveland does the same thing. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you get drafted number one by Cleveland, it's a curse. You do not want to have Cleveland Browns be the number one pick, and they pick you. You're like, I'm doomed. I'm going to be Cleveland. Cleveland should never be allowed to have a first-round draft pick, and maybe they might get something. That team, I don't know. And I still love these old teams. I mean, these old teams that have been around forever but just never been able to get it done. The Browns haven't even come close to the Super Bowl. The Lions never had. And the guys that have been there have never won it. I mean, you got the Bills. You got the Vikings. The Bengals. So, well, it looks like we got nobody on tonight. So I'm going to be talking for as best as I can, for as long as I want, but I don't want to just babble. But I don't know where the hell my crew is. Hold on. Come on, Seth. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, let's see where we are on the draft here now. Where are we? All right, Giants went Jordan Riley, defensive lineman out of Oregon. Oregon? Oregon? Ah, I hate Oregon. That I do. I hate Oregon. I hate every Oregon team. University of Oregon, Oregon State, all of them. Portland State, I hate them all. If you're from Oregon, I hate you. It's just the way it is. All right, Dallas Cowboys. Now, they need an edge rusher or a safety. Everybody needs an edge rusher or a safety. There's been a lot of edge rushers drafted, I've noticed. A lot of them. A lot of people are going, you know, you can, again, you can never have enough defense. You know, you just cannot have enough defense, nor can you have enough offensive line. You need to protect that quarterback. You know, I mean, poor Jeff George. You know, he actually could have been a pretty good quarterback, and I like Jeff George. But every game he went to, I mean, he just got mutilated. It's like, you know, every line that he, you know, ever had For some reason, it didn't like the block for him. Now, maybe, you know, he could have done something to get out of the way. I don't know. But when you are sacked right away, it's your front line that's not doing the job. I mean, look how many times he got it with the Colts, and then with the Raiders. Then he was somewhere else, I think. But, I mean, how that guy was able to get sacked as many times as he did and still able to get up. You know, say whatever you want to about Jeff George, but, I mean, he showed toughness. He certainly showed toughness, and I don't think he was that bad of a quarterback. I just think he never was on a team that really cared to win. Yeah, no front line at all, ever. No front line. Nothing. So, well, I don't know where Seth is. Hopefully he's all right. Well, I guess I'll go till 6:30. We'll do a half-hour show. I've got 4 minutes. I mean, I can talk all night, but I don't want to babble. But New England Patriots, they need an offensive tackle. I think Jackson Kirkland could be a good Patriot. Why not? Give him a shot, man. Give him a shot. But I did think the let me see this. The first rounders, now I'm not disappointed. I don't Carolina, they're trying to do everything they can, but I'm not really impressed with Bryce Young. And look, we've seen how many quarterbacks. Lawrence is the only one out of his class that ended up being good. Zach Wilson out of the Jets. Yeah, where is he now? Oh, now he's smarting off. Running his mouth. It's like, yeah, you're really going to beat Aaron Rodgers. You're going to take his, yeah, okay. You know, maybe if you'd have, you know, stayed away from screwing all your mother's friends and concentrated on playing football, going out, doing what not, you know, instead of, you know, learning the plays, paying attention, doing your job, getting it done. You don't complain. Well, he's a baby. I knew he was going to be a bust at the very beginning. I knew he was going to be a bust. First of all, he's too small, and you can tell in his eyes. I can look at a player on draft day. I can look in their eyes, and I can tell if they're bust or not. You can tell. I've been right every single time, except for Lawrence. Lawrence was a phenomenon. He screwed me up. I thought he was going to be a bust, but damn it, that kid did not just... You know, even though when his first year, the whole team was having problems. But look, I mean, you're on the Jaguars, so you can't really expect a lot. But you could start to see things in this kid. And he got better game after game. After every game he got better, and you started to see it. And at some point, it didn't take me long, and I couldn't deny it. I could no longer say this guy was a bust. I was, like, supporting him. And now I do. I'm a fan. I'm a Trevor Lawrence fan, man. I'm a fan. I have been, you know, I've seen the light. No, but you knew he was going to be a bust. I knew, what's his name in Arizona? I knew that was the flash. Kyler Murray, you show up to draft day in a pink suit. No socks. I mean, looking like a, well, I hate to say it, but, you know, looking like a 1970s pimp. I don't know. I mean, you could dress however you want to dress, but, you know, if that's what you're all about, that to me right there, when it depends on how you dress. If you're dressed conservatively, it means you're focused on football. You're not focused on how you look. You're not focused on, oh, do I got my hair right? Oh, do I got the right shoes on? Oh, how's my tie? How's it? You're not focused on that. You're focused on football. So you don't need to be dressed to the nines. to show that you are, you know, a prospect, a good prospect. You need to have it in your eyes, and you can see it in these kids' eyes. You can see it. Well, C.J. Stroud, I'm sorry, but no. That kid, he is 6'3 and 215 pounds. Well, again, it's only time. I mean, the scouts are giving it a B. They seem to think the C.J. Stroud, they seem to think all these other guys that were drafted in the first three picks were so great. They're always wrong. I just don't see C.J. Stroud doing what needs to be done, but there's no way you could say for certain, and I can't. I wouldn't put a bet on it, but I wouldn't. No. I don't think he's going to do anything. And he's on Houston. So he's going to get wasted in Houston because Houston, they just don't have any coaching. If they had coaching, you know, that team could win and would have won. Well, on paper, you know, they're always good, but they don't have the right direction. It just seems like everybody is going in a completely different direction on Houston. They don't seem to have a focus. I think that's what's missing. So hopefully they can get her done, but they had two picks, a second and a third pick. They got an edge rusher and a quarterback. And again, they did a lot of switching, a lot of trades. So they lost a lot for this season. So the next two, three seasons, they're not going to have very much. So it sounds to me like they're just going for broke. And hey, you know, God bless them. Why not? You got to lose, though. I mean, you're Houston. You've been in the dregs forever. So why not take a shot, man? Shoot for the moon. You don't make it to the moon? Well, you at least are going to make it farther than you did last year. Take a shot, man. You got nothing to lose. Now, this Anthony Richardson that went to the Colts. I think we got Seth on board now, so let's bring him on. Seth, is that you, my friend?
Happy Saturday, everyone.
Oh, my God. I was just getting ready to get off. I was wondering what the, you know, where is everybody? Well, it looks like the Viper is on in a tournament. But I've been talking about the draft, man. I mean, I've been talking up a storm on this draft following, and I'm looking for one hometown guys. I went to school with I didn't go to school with him. I was a few years older than him, but we knew him around the way. Dean Kirkland, well, he got drafted by the Bills, and now his son is in the draft, and we're at round seven, and we're running out of picks, and we're hoping that he does get drafted. He was at Washington, University of Washington, a Husky, just like his dad. And, well, his dad was in All-State 4 years in a row. He was at the Rose Bowl. So, have you been following the draft at all, Seth?
A little bit here and there. And there's, of course, a lot of surprising things every year, mm-hmm. just like there is in the draft. And all the stay-at-home fans and the commentators and everybody thinks that they know football. You are not a general manager that is making a pick. So, we found that out again. This year. For me as a Steelers fan, I love it that we drafted Porter Jr. As a cornerback for the Steelers. That means something to me. That's something special. I hope the kid really turns out and he is a Steeler forever.
Well, you've also got a Corey Trice that's an A+ they're giving him. He's a cornerback out of Purdue. So, yeah, well, there's a lot of teams. Like, I've been talking about Houston. I mean, Houston is going for broke. They're going scorched earth. They have traded all their draft picks to move up. And I don't know what they're giving up, but you know they're giving up a lot. They're not going to have very much in the next couple of years, but they're going for broke. this year. They're going to win. They want to win the Super Bowl this year. They're not going to do it, but they're at least going for it. And they've got a lot of picks. They've done a lot of trades. And
one of the things that you're talking about with the Houston Texans, and I understood everything that you were saying. I was on for a little bit. They have 4 playoff wins since their inception as a team. The Detroit Lions have 1. And there's about a 30-something year difference since the Super Bowl era. So the Houston Texans are still in a good direction. They had to go through a lot recently. It was horrible that you had to watch Watt, which was a great defensive player, just kind of go through the last years of this turmoil. They needed to turn around in a lot of different directions, and Houston can do it. So, you don't know who the great quarterback of this year is going to be. It could be Hendon Hooker from Tennessee that the Lions got in the second round. We don't know. No one's going to know. Will Levis from Kentucky, so Bryce Young, of course. So let's see what happens. But
I was talking about
the Houston Texans either. I mean, it's one of those organizations you can kind of root for. But
they've got a lot of weapons, and they should have been a really good team several years. There are so many times they should have been good, but they're not, and it's coaching. They don't have, and this is what, this C.J. Stroud, that cognitive test, that's real stuff. And I watched his highlight reel, and here's the thing. I thought the draft was horrible. That production was terrible. ESPN, you are much better than that. I could not believe they weren't showing any highlights, and the highlights that they did show was the defense splits. The half of it goes to the left, half goes to the right. There's a big wide hole, and a running back runs through that hole, scores a touchdown, and that's supposed to be a highlight for the running back? I mean, and then they spent the whole time talking to the Jonas Brothers, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. In between picks, this is the time to show the highlights of all these players that are prospects and see who's going to get picked. I mean, they used to do a great job. ESPN used to do a great job at it. This year was the worst production I've ever seen. This pregame crap was terrible. Don't just stop. It's not the Super Bowl. It never will be the Super Bowl.
And not since Brady Quinn, since Will Levis being – the quarterback from Kentucky that was supposed to be a high pick. That's why he was there. He even said before the whole thing, he is not going to show up unless he knows for sure he's going to be a first-round pick. I mean, of course, does he have some amazingly beautiful sisters and amazingly beautiful girlfriend? Of course.
Oh,
and are
God,
they
going
to show them
that
over and over and over again? Yes, they are. But for him, it got more and more awkward. It's terrible. I don't like watching these things. That's confrontation.
Well, they shouldn't have been doing that anyway. They should have been concentrating on, you don't need to do that. You don't need to show these guys in there. I'm sorry, but you don't. That was bad on ESPN for doing that. Just show the highlights and talk about the players that are going to be drafted. Talk about, it's supposed to be about the draft. It is not supposed to be about the Jonas Brothers. I'm sorry, they're trying to attract the young audience. Oh, the Jonas Brothers are going to be on the draft. Let's watch the draft. Well, these are kids that would never watch the draft. They don't watch football. Why would they tune in, and why would they want to be tuning into a draft? That they don't watch sports, they don't watch football, but you just to see Jonas Brothers? I mean, get the hell out of here with that crap.
And here's the thing. Will Levis from Kentucky, his girlfriend is a Instagram, TikTok, social media.
Oh, Jesus, that's the last thing that kid needs right now.
Oh, yeah, so her dressed up to the hilt.
She did look beautiful.
All that heat, but she got all this. I mean, oh, my goodness. It was like, for him, it was terrible. For her, it's amazing. Like, it's like even worse. It's
I'll tell you right now, if his girlfriend is one of these TikTokers and social media whatevers, he needs to dump her immediately. She is going to ruin him. She's going to be bitching that he was never drafted into this. She's going to be complaining. It's going to make him look bad. It's going to affect his play. She's going to bring him down.
Well,
you know,
she might have already done that. She might have already done that because he said before the draft, on conversation publicly with TV, he did not intend showing up on the first round personally if he was not going to be picked. So who do you think?
Well, he was trying to show. Well, what I'm saying is,
hey,
he was just trying to show he's confident. You know, and it didn't come out right, but I know what you're saying.
No, did she say, hey, listen, this is going to be 1 million views from me tomorrow? I don't know. Not saying it happened.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, look what happened to Russell Wilson after he got having an affair with Golden State or Golden Tate. That's funny. I never done that before. Never screwed that up. Golden Tate, he was having an affair with his wife. And it was actually Golden Tate was having an affair with Russell Wilson's wife. And that's why Golden Tate got traded to the Lions.
Yeah.
But then anyway, he gets his new wife, and this girl just totally screwed him up, just like Kaepernick. He got a hold of that girlfriend, screwed his head all up. That's what happens, you know.
During the World Series for Justin Verlander.
Yeah. You know, a good woman can make you a great man, but a bad woman can make you a very bad man. That's the thing.
I'm just not sure about it, but here a man made a public statement, and then shortly after, it has changed completely. And all you see is this girl on the draft all day long. Oh, that's all I'm saying. What happened?
This is what I did not like about the whole production of the show, which, you know, it is a show. And you don't need to have this kabuki theater. You don't need all this crap. What you need to do, remember when they used to have it just in New York? And they would come out and they'd say, welcome to the 2023 draft, NFL draft, blah, 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 making a couple of short little real quick announcements. And now, you know, Pittsburgh is on the clock and just go from there. And then they start showing highlights of all the players because it used to be about the players getting drafted. This was not about the players, except for the ones in the green room, and they're trying to make fun of Will Levis. Were they doing that on purpose? They don't like him? Is that what's going on?
No, I don't know what's going on, but I felt like it was a Brady Quinn moment.
I thought it was ridiculous. And look, the guy's not getting drafted. You know he's kind of bummed. Don't show him. Like, remember when David Cohn, when his last game, I was watching it live with the Mets, and remember when he came back out of retirement, and, well, they pulled him, and he knew that he was done, and you could almost see him cry, and the camera got off of him. The camera got off of him because you don't do that. You know, this is, you know, these are athletes, you know, that is personal to them, and you don't need to mock them. And do that. You need to have respect. And that to me, just showed a lot of disrespect. And I don't know who's running this. Who ran this show? It was the worst draft I think I've ever seen. Absolute horrible. I mean, my God in heaven, just players. And the football needs to be about football. Baseball, you know, you and me are the same way. Baseball needs to be about baseball. It shouldn't be about anything else. Oh, but the time, oh, the this, oh, the that, and oh, I'm inconvenienced. And what the hell are you doing at the ballpark? You can turn the channel if you're watching it at home. I mean, my God.
Yeah, don't get me started on that one.
Jesus Christ almighty. I just... Well, it doesn't look good here, man. We've only got a few picks. I really want to announce my hometown son of a guy I knew back home, Dean Kirkland. He was good. I think he dressed up a couple of times. I know he got drafted by the Bills. I know he was on the practice squad. Big, 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 big monster kid. But I think he did suit up a couple of times. I'm almost positive. I don't know. When he was playing, when he was with the Bills, I was in the car business, and I didn't have time to watch anything. And I worked all day on Sundays, which I hated. Always missing football. I missed baseball. I'm in the car business. I was there for like 7 years or so. I missed everything. You work. That's all you do. I mean, it is, you know, half a day is, you know, about 12 hours. Swear to God, it's horrible. It's a horrible business. You make a lot of money, and you blow it on drugs and booze and women. So you work hard and you play hard, and that after a while, I told myself, you know, I'm gonna die.
It's just like being in the Navy without the pay.
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly what it was, and I told myself, man, I got to get out of this. And that's why I moved to New York. I saved my life. I really do believe by moving to New York, I think I saved my life. Because I was just, you know, you're working too hard. And I live with a couple of women, and they don't like the fact that they can never see me because I'm working. And I come home late at night, you know, we'd have, our little fun together. Won't go into details. And then I get up early in the morning, gone, and I wouldn't see, you know, it was just, they were like, you know, where are you? Well, I'm working. So it was horrible, but. But in any event, you know, life has a weird way. But we're never going to know. Again, that's what I was talking about earlier. We're never going to know with these players. The only judge is time. You know, I mean, by after the second year, if he's not lighting it up, he doesn't have it. The first year, you know, I mean, you can tell. I mean, like I was talking about with Lawrence, even though he was on a very bad team, but you could see that team improving. Whether they won or they lost, it really was irrelevant. They were just learning the game. The Jaguars were just simply learning the game of football. Like they started from scratch, and you can see them improve every game. And Lawrence improved, improved, improved. The team is loose because they're confident. When you're confident, you know you don't have to stress. You don't have to worry, and you go out and you play loose, and you're going to win more than you're going to lose. Well, I really have a lot of high hopes for the Jaguars this year. But again, you know, we had a lot of high hopes for a lot of teams every year, and nothing happened. So,
it's just the AFC is so dominant with so many quarterbacks
right now, yeah.
That you need. And I'm saying quarterbacks that we are going to be talking about 10 years from now, whether they're still playing or not, how good they were. It's unbelievable how the league has got that, especially in one conference.
That AFC East, that division right now on paper, I know it's on paper. On paper and on the field are two completely different animals. They're not even in the same food group. But on paper right now, looking at that, that is one stacked division. That is stacked. That is, you've got the entire conference in one division.
You almost had four teams from the AFC East go to the playoffs last year.
You had three. No, it was the other division that had, if I can find the word, is that? But no, you're right.
Well,
we were thinking that they were going to have
all. Almost had four as well.
Yeah. Tennessee had three, and same with the AFC had two. But you thought that, you know, New England was going to make it. And also had a little bit of hope that the Jets were going to make it.
Yeah, the Jets blew it at the end.
Well, because Mike White got hurt. Once quite
right.
went down. They had to go back to Zach Wilson, and that's when they lost all six games that Wilson played. He destroyed their whole season. And they still ended up being 7-10.
And whatever Zach Wilson has said publicly about his comments about any other quarterback coming into this organization with him still being on there and then him competing for the job, goodbye. You know, I mean, you're going to have now – you were having Mike White show you up. Now it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. I guarantee you in one game you're going to see how far behind you are in your progress as a real starting NFL quarterback. You're going to see it.
Well, I'm trying to – where did they – hey, Atlanta. Oh, my God, my throat. Jesus. Atlanta did pretty good in the draft as well. But where did Mike White – he ended up somewhere. Where did he end up?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember, but – No, it was a good spot for – it was a good time for him to go, you know. I mean, literally, you weren't going to do nothing with that team knowing that they were still keeping Zach Wilson, and they were going to probably bring in somebody else. But for Mike White, you need to go anywhere else and stay in the league, and he did that.
Oh, that's – okay, wait a minute. Viper, I was – sorry, Viper. I was looking at all my other screens. As soon as my screen pops up here, I'll bring Viper on, and he said Miami, and that's right. That's where that's where you went.
No, and that's a great spot for him. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
first
of all, you know that he's going to get some playing time because Tua is going to go down. He's going to get hurt. He's already injured. He probably shouldn't even be playing right now. But nevertheless, let's bring Viper on board. Where are my button? Here it is. Viper, my good friend, welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Hey, thanks for letting me in. Sorry I'm a little bit behind schedule, but better late than never.
Well, how long were you on? Because I had all my other screens up.
I was on when you guys were bitching about Zach Wilson and, hey, Zach Wilson didn't know they were going to bring in Aaron Rodgers when he made that statement. I'm sure he'd like to modify that.
Yeah, I know. No,
if you're going to bring in somebody else, and then all of a sudden it's like Aaron Rodgers.
Well, hey, look, he made a couple other bad faux pas, I guess you might call them, very bad, poorly articulated statements. Okay, we got two more picks. Come on, I want to announce my hometown son here, man. Come on.
Are they still picking? I thought it was done.
No, we got Chicago Bears right now, who's their pick is in, and then the Rams are the last pick. So we'll find out.
So they're getting
Bears
Mr. Irrelevant.
Yep, the Rams. Well, the Rams did what they could, but I mean, look, Stafford is, the coach said that he's clear to play. Well, that doesn't mean that he is. The coach is just saying that he's healthy, and that's all. The only thing that they're saying is the coach said he's healthy.
He might be clear to play.
But, yeah, but, I mean, how effective? Now, you know you got Cooper, or Coop. So, he's, they've got a lot of work. I mean, they lost a lot of front linemen. They lost a lot of defense. They lost a lot of things.
They knew they were going to lose a lot of things. And whatever they
just wanted the ring.
Whenever they made their decision. They were all in, if it's a poker table example. And you know what? It paid out, everyone. So no matter what you say about the L.A. Rams, from here on, they won a Super Bowl. They didn't just go to a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl. So all their decisions.
And now everything else is frosting. Yeah, I agree. And that's what you got to do sometimes.
Well, you have to.
So everything that they did,
everybody's done it.
Everything that they did, we knew their house was going to collapse tomorrow. It's fine. You do this no matter what. If you can grab a Super Bowl ever, you grab a Super Bowl. Even some of the highest teams that have the most wins, we're talking six in their entire franchise. So even one is more precious than you believe.
And realistically, the Rams, minus last season with, you know, San Francisco-like injury plague, you know, the Rams are still in a window to compete for a Super Bowl. I mean, they've got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFC. Again, that's not saying much because the AFC floated. But they still have Cooper Kupp. They still have Aaron Donald. They still have great weapons to throw to. They've got a decent offensive line. But they were just injury riddled last year, just like San Francisco was 3 years ago. And, you know, and like the Bengals during Burrow's rookie year. So those things happen. Those are not in your control. And, yeah, it tanks one season. But I think the Rams are still in contention with a healthy Stafford and an effective Stafford to win a Super Bowl in the next year or two. They're in contention.
Well, you're right. I mean, his 14th year, and that's fine. It's you're more educated and you're a much smarter quarterback. And you're right.
If he's Tom Brady, he'd be playing for 8-9 more years.
You got Kupp, and you got, you know, I mean, they've been drafting pretty good. And again, I want to, and I don't think it's going to do anything. I don't like the C.J. Stroud, but Houston is going for broke. They have traded. They did all these, you know, drafting up. So they're losing a lot. So they're going right now for bust this year. They're not going to win the Super Bowl, but they're going to at least go for it. And hopefully they can, you know, it will. Oh, my God, what is that noise?
Ugh. It was the TV, my fault.
Hopefully it will. It will last over for the few years, but in Houston, at least, is going for it. They're going for broke, and they're trading everything they can just to go for it. So,
but from my knowledge of the Ohio State University for quarterback,
drafted
in the first round, has one ever really panned out? That is my question. And I know you have to, you know, base each kid individually. But sometimes there is something about a program. I don't know what it is. And is this kid just a program of a machine that knows how to produce whatever out of a quarterback and that doesn't translate to the NFL?
Well, and I agree with that. You could say the same thing about the Alabama situation. Alabama's had pretty good quarterbacks for the last 5 to 7 years, but have they translated into the pro level? One could make the same argument, and Alabama is one of those elite programs. But where did Big Ben come from? Where did Ben Roethlisberger? He was a MAC player. Was it Bowling Green? Was it Bowling Green or was it Miami of Ohio? I can't remember which one.
It was Miami of Ohio.
Right. So it's a crapshoot. And Aaron Rodgers was at a community college before he went to Cal. I mean, he even puts that on his little bio when they announce him on the game. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways that QBs make it to the NFL and succeed. Ultimately, in my opinion, I don't think it's a program. I don't think it's a coach. I think it's the player. And that's the individual. And that is irrelevant of a program you come from.
Yeah, well, let's see. Well, the draft is over now. My guy didn't make it in, but, hey, you know.
Who's Mr. Irrelevant? Who's Mr. Irrelevant?
Hold on. Let me make – my machine is going really slow here tonight for some odd reason. I just had him. Deswan Johnson, DESJUAN. So I don't know if the J is or So Des Juan, where is he from? Toledo. He's 6'3", 275 pounds. First step quickness in borderline elite. Shoots gaps awesomely. Good pass rush moves too. Short arms and not much power. Niche role that's valuable in today's NFL. All right, well, he's got a shot. Hey, we looked at Purdy, man. No, he wasn't even supposed to be. He was not even on the practice squad. I mean, he was, you know. And who was that guy with the Cowboys? Cooper Rush. I mean.
Did you happen to see any of Brock Purdy's stats from last year individually when it came and they broke it down to certain situations?
No.
Like
nobody
him,
no.
In pocket protection. Him just outside the hash marks. Him. And they had like four major categories that everybody would know if I, you know, had them off the top of my head. And his quarterback ratings on the lowest was 112 point something and first in the NFL. He was first in almost every category, Brock Purdy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why the 49ers are still all in on him, even if he's injured this year.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't
you
be? I mean, think about this. Well, think about the salary he's commanding. He's probably commanding almost no salary. He won them football games. There's no way you give up Brock Purdy, even from a salary cap standpoint. He's worth it.
And to be
honest,
hey,
we just found lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't expect it.
If he didn't throw his hand against that helmet and got really hurt, which is unfortunate, they probably still had a chance truly to beat the Eagles. And they probably would have, to be honest.
I don't know that they would have beat the Chiefs, but yeah, could have.
Well, let me ask you this. What was Brock Purdy why was he drafted the last pick? What was it about him that none of these teams liked? I mean, if the guy, you know, is just so – it's kind of weird. It's like you're kind of good in college but not really, but then you come to the pros and all of a sudden you're, you know, how does that happen?
Well, why was Tom Brady
I think a lot
of ground pick?
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, and I think the big thing that I'm learning in this draft and from this year and last year, the people who are doing it well, you know, they understand positional value. And that's what Belichick, way back when he first built New England into what New England was, he understood positional value. And I know this because I read his book. I read his book way back when it came out.
I believe you.
And it made perfect sense because you got all these teams, and you know, it's a lot like Moneyball, you know. Why are you going to pay $8 million for a guy that is putting up similar numbers for someone you can get for $250,000? Well, because there's a perceived bias, a perception about a player, and you think that that's worth a lot of money, but really, in the statistical aggregate of the game, it's not worth that much. And, you know, people are getting overpaid all the time for stuff as a perceived great thing. And I think that, you know, Belichick started it way back when Moneyball first broke out in sabermetrics. And he just said, hey, when I'm drafting players, I'm going to draft this position and this position, this position. It's going to save me money. And I'm not going to end up overspending, and I'm going to get a lot of value out of those picks. And I think that's really what a lot of teams have kind of picked up on. Bijan Robinson was a little bit of a reach. I think Jahmyr Gibbs was a little bit of a reach for the Lions in this draft. But, you know, maybe we're wrong. I mean, maybe Bijan's just going to be that good, and maybe – Jahmyr Gibbs is the next Alvin Kamara because he looks exactly like Alvin Kamara. And, you know, if you think you have a shot at him and you're going to lose him on the board and that's what you need for your team, then that's what you grab. clearly they needed a running back to protect Desmond Ridder down in Atlanta. So there's a lot of reasons that, you know, people value certain things. And Brock Purdy was clearly on the San Francisco 49ers list. And they said, hey, we got the last pick. Let's get this kid. I mean, he's got some potential. Now, if you draft Brock Purdy in the second round, that's an awful lot of clout to put on a quarterback of that ability. So a lot depends on that value. And a lot of people were wondering about Will Levis. Well, why did he drop out of the first round? That's probably the best thing that ever could have happened to that kid. Because if he gets drafted first round, you know, he's looking to be a potential Ryan Leaf. If he gets a first round draw or top 10 draw, well, whoever drafts him is going to, that fan base and that program is going to expect him to deliver out of the gate. And maybe he's not ready to. Well, now where does he go? He goes to Tennessee. He can be comfortable behind Tannehill. I mean, they're going to basically start calling for him because Tannehill is eventually going to start to choke. But would you rather come in and save the day, or would you rather be in and get blamed all the time? I mean, that's what happened to Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson just got put in that role too soon, too fast, and now look where he is. That's what I think.
Well, we do have a caller. Hold on, caller. We're going to get to you here in a second. Well, I do believe, and you know me, I mean, I do believe it's all in quarterbacks. Your quarterback, I mean, you need a quarterback coach. And if you don't have good quarterback coaching, or,
true,
you know, some guys can learn it themselves immediately. They can just, they're just naturally just getting it. It comes out. Well, some of them need a little, you need a little training. Well, this guy's got an arm from hell. Guy can throw 100 yards. Okay, well, you can work on his accuracy. What you can't work on is his distance. Okay, he can be accurate, but if he can only be accurate 5 yards, after 5 yards, he can't do it. Okay, you can work, you can train that, you can work on that. And if Tennessee can do that, I don't know if they can, but if they can, and you're right, eventually he's going to have to come in after Tannehill does choke. Tannehill's old, so he's going down. So anyway, let's bring our caller on board now. I have no way of telling who you are. So the last four, and don't be a smart guy, because I'm just going to hang up on you, like I did last week. So be respectful, and if you've got a good sports, we're talking about the NFL draft. So if the last four digits of your phone number is 6921, you're on the air. Welcome aboard, and happy Saturday.
Thank you, Captain. Actually, I did try once before, but I never got through. So,
oh, I'm sorry about that.
That was about a year ago. But I'm not surprised by most of these picks. But to say that, you know, to compare quarterbacks like Ryan Leaf, no, I mean, nobody could be that bad. I mean, that was a disaster. So I don't think we could have anything like that again. I mean, that'd be a big mistake.
Well, hey, look, remember Meyer in Seattle? We remember that.
Yeah,
I know.
Oh, boy. You want to think of who you draft, though, before you – I mean, it looked good on paper, but, once they get out there.
Do you have your TV on? I hear something. I can't hardly hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, and the pick for Will Levis, you know, with his numbers being down from last season and the slight injury he had, I'm not surprised he didn't get picked in the first round. There was a lot of concern about that. So I think it was a smart move that he did get picked for the second round rather than the first, even though he was highly – regarded being drafted early on.
Right.
So well, I agree with you, caller. I agree with the caller. There's a couple of things going on with Levis from what I researched. Number one, Kentucky does run a more pro-style offense, the way they go through their reads and their progressions. And he did struggle with that at times. But there's two ways to look at it. It's either he's struggling – and part of getting better is that struggle, but at least he's on the path as opposed to a Hendon Hooker who had a 1-2 read type option. Now, he got really good at it, which is why he was strong in Tennessee, but that's not your typical pro style. It's read deep and then check down with a lot of these teams and that RPO system. But you know, Levis has been in it already. The knock on him was his ability to make those reads and then obviously throw with a great deal of accuracy. He's got a huge arm. I mean, he's a great second-round project, and I think that's what I was getting at, where the positional value, if he's a one or a top-five pick like a Ryan Leaf and doesn't work out right away, he's a bust. But if he's second, third round, no pressure. It's definitely, he's not a bust anymore. He was someone that needed some development. He didn't get rushed into it too soon. I agree with the caller right there.
Thank you.
And what is the caller's team that he likes in the NFL?
You really want me to say it on the air?
Yes.
He's a Lions fan.
I'm a Jets fan.
Oh, J-E-T-S. That's the team.
Yeah.
Jets. Vinny and the Jets.
I was singing that earlier in my monologue.
Aaron. Aaron and the Jets.
Oh, hey, look, I mean, well, look, you got to feel good, caller. You've got to feel good that Aaron Rodgers is coming over here, because the Jets last year, if it wasn't for their quarterback problems, it wasn't Mike White, it was numbnuts. I mean, sorry, I knew he was going to be a bust when he was drafted. Why the Jets did it? Well, the Jets are the Jets. They just do things, like a lot of teams do things. Well, anyway, you've got to feel good now. But you've got a good, solid team. You've got a pretty good defense that's building up. You've got a pretty good offense. He's got some weapons. You've got to feel good. How good do you realize? How good do you feel that Rodgers is now your quarterback?
I'm a bit skeptic. I mean, let's put it this way. He's not the same Rodgers he was when he won the Super Bowl with the Packers. I mean, he has lost his steps and whatnot, you know. So are we going to see, like, the Rodgers of his glory years, or are we going to get the more run-down version, which has now become?
Well, that depends on him.
That's the thing,
and I've been saying this forever. It depends on if Aaron Rodgers wants to do it, he will do it. There's not going to be no can or may about it. He will get it done. But the question is, does he want to do it or not? And you know what? I think he might just stick it to the Packers, because there is bad blood between the Packers and Rodgers. And a lot of it is, you know, Rodgers is doing his own thing, and he's uncoachable because he is what he is, and that's it. And they wanted him to do things that he didn't want to do. Yeah, so it all depends.
I mean, if you really look at the mirror of statistics for Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, specifically coming to the Jets, I mean, you're almost at the same exact time period, same exact everything, and the Jets went to the playoffs with Brett Favre, and they, you know, they did a pretty good job.
No, you're not.
They didn't go to the playoffs with Brett Favre?
No, we got to win the season at 10-6, but it wasn't enough. I mean, the AFC East was just too strong that year. We just missed the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true.
So do you see that happening again, then? I'm so sorry.
I don't want history to repeat itself, you know.
Well, I'm gonna give the caller some reason to hope, because one of my best friends, he is a Jets fan, so we talk about the Jets often. This is why I'm gonna give you some hope when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, and I understand your concerns. Are you catching him on the downslope of his career? Okay, I think Aaron Rodgers is gonna benefit huge from reuniting with his offensive coordinator, who was fired from Denver. And that combination reignited in New York, two guys that understand each other, a guy that helped him through the offense get to the NFL MVP award. I think that's going to be a rejuvenation for Aaron Rodgers, and I think he's going to be a very, very dangerous quarterback. The Jets are obviously in a very competitive division. I mean, you know, Belichick's never going to let that team be a slouch. You got Buffalo, you got Miami, you got the Jets in New England. That's going to be
Buffalo
an incredibly
win the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, I mean, well, and they could still. I mean, they still have all the pieces. Just because you have the pieces doesn't mean you're automatically going to win, but you're in position to. I think the Jets now have an inside shot. I don't think they can win the division, but they sure as heck can make the playoffs. And if you make the playoffs, as teams have proven, you've got a shot. So that's my word of encouragement.
Well, I think we're going to see a nice four-way race. Something tells me the Patriots are going to be better. than they were last year. And I their quarterback situation in Miami might be a little more stable if to his healthy. And you've got what's his name coming in, Mike White. So I really do believe there's going to be a nice four-way race for a while, but it's going to be the last, probably about the last three or four games. It might break up. It could also, I just had a call. I had to hang up on it. But it could also,
I'm still here.
What was that?
I'm still here.
Oh, hold on, this phone keeps ringing, and I got to stop this thing, and I lost my train of thought. I hate when my phone is ringing when I'm doing a show. I don't even know why I have this thing here. But, no, I think we're going to have a nice four-way race. It's going to be very competitive in that division. And, look, it's going to make everybody better. The Bills have no room to screw up right now. They can't screw up right now. None of them. Every loss that you get in that division is going to be one loss is going to equal two. You can't lose in that division. So, but overall, I really do believe. I think Houston Texans had a good draft. I think Seattle had a pretty good draft. The caller, let me ask you, who do you think had a good draft? You got to feel good about the Jets having a good draft, though, right?
I do. We always seem to go for, you know, always like the quarterbacks. Sometimes they just didn't go with what they want rather than what they need, which is why they don't do well. So maybe now this time they get it right.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
You need a quarterback. You need a safety. You need a running back. You need help.
I agree
special
with
teams.
That. I think a lot of GMs and franchise fall into that pressure of, you know, drafting what people want instead of what they need. And, you know, that's where I honestly have to give the Detroit Lions a lot of credit, because there's a lot of people, including myself, that are questioning why they didn't grab one of these elite interior defenders, defensive linemen, when they had them available to them. And whatever it is, whatever they're trying to do, I see a pattern of what they're doing, but ultimately, they are making the picks they believe in instead of what the fans want. And Lions fans have been stupid for four decades, and they get gaga over the big, shiny wide receiver. How many of those have worked out? They get – or the shiny quarterback. How many of those have worked out? You know, and that's where, you know, I think the Jets drafted what they needed, and I think they were smart. But no, nothing's going to top the draft they had last year.
And it really even started last year with Sauce Gardner. No one drafts a defensive back that high that ever has panned out in over 10 years. And within 20 years, you're talking four. So, but you saw something in Sauce. I saw something in Sauce. This Jets team can finally be – they can finally be better than the Giants. Let's just say that.
Well, when they draft the defensive rookie of the year and the offensive rookie of the year in the same draft, how many people do that? I mean, that's a franchise changer last year. They added bits that they needed this year. They did what they did getting Rodgers in free agency. I mean, they're a contender now, and that's got to be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, but I do really believe, though, I know what the caller's saying, because I have to. It's like, you know, does he really want to play? No, did he really want to do that? Well, I think he does, and pretty vocal about it. He comes on the air. He's not afraid to tell you what's on his mind, and he's not afraid to find a microphone somewhere on the air to let you know about it. So I do think that he really wants to play. I think he wants another ring, and it's a perfect place for the Jets, because you're right. I mean, what they did last year with the Jets, their only reason why they lost was because of Wilson. When Mike was playing, they were winning. He gets hurt, and now Wilson comes back and they lose the last six games of the season.
Yeah,
so,
and I think losing Brees Hall at running back really hurt them too. When he went down,
That was a killer. That
really hurt Wilson, but what it did is it hurt the offense, because then they became way too predictable. And I think Breece Hall made that offense go last year early on, and I think he was the real difference maker. But, you know, if they get him back and with Rodgers pulling the trigger, they stay healthy. Here's the trick, though, and I'm gonna leave it with this on Rodgers. I agree with everything you said, Captain. I think he does want to win. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. I think he wants to get his one more. He didn't believe Green Bay was the place to do it. But let me put the warning up, okay? It better happen soon. He ain't going to wait no 4 or 5 years for this, okay?
No.
The Jets have a window. If they're gonna keep Rodgers and win a Super Bowl, the Jets have a 2-year window, maybe
That's
three
it.
Tops. And after that, he's hanging up his Spurs. He's not going to wait around anymore. So they got to get after it. And I mean,
well,
that,
I think after two
that they,
years,
if they're
I don't
gonna
think
do
he's
it.
Gonna come back for a third. I think Rodgers
no,
will retire.
That's what I mean. If
you know,
they're
well, no, you're right.
But if they're not, forget it. Yeah.
Yeah, let me ask the caller a question, because with Aaron Rodgers, he's a very particular individual. How do you think he's gonna work with Salah?
Well,
because I like Salah as a head coach, amazing, in my opinion. But
I don't think he can work well with Rodgers, because Rodgers had some problems with Packers players and the coach later in his career.
I think we're losing the caller. Can anybody hear him?
No,
he's a little bit choppy, but yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah, I can barely hear you guys now. Oh, okay.
I think I hear it.
Well, if you're near your computer, it will do that. If your cell phone is near your computer,
him a little bit.
It will do that. Yeah, I can hear him now.
Right.
So go ahead.
Yeah, because he's had trouble with the management, Packers, and the coaching staff. So hopefully, Salah and Rodgers will be able to work this out together. To avoid any differences that happen later in the year, I hope.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the issue is going to be working with Salah. I think the players like him. I think he commands a lot of respect. He's been doing it 18 years at a great level. I'm biased. He's a Michigan State guy, but I think the key is when they hired Nathaniel Hackett. The old-time OC for Rodgers and Green Bay.
Yeah.
That's the guy Rodgers is going to be working with. I mean, there's no reason why Salah can't say, look, yes, it's my team, let's communicate regularly, but you go ahead and take over the offense because you've proven yourself in the past, and then you've got Aaron Rodgers in your back pocket. Go and do your job, and I think that's why Robert Salah is a good head coach, because he lets people do their job. But he still has his finger in the pie, and yeah, I think it's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that at all. Honestly.
All right.
Well, has anybody got? I know they've been grading, but has anybody got an A? And anybody get an F? I know the Lions. They screwed around. I don't think they helped themselves in this draft. I don't know if I give him an F.
Give him a C.
Yeah, probably give him a C-, maybe a D. But I do like the direction the Lions are going, but I don't know.
You know, knowing, I'm on the Lions better in my backyard, but honestly, I probably would have given him a C- on the first night. But now that it's all done, I'm going to give them a solid B, and only because this is what I identified with the Lions, and we've talked about it on the show in the past, and I've said it wasn't my quote. I'm plagiarizing somebody. Actually, I'm not, because I don't know who said it, but I'm not passing it as my own. Unlike guys with initials JB,
right.
The statement is culture eats talent for breakfast. And
yes.
I'm not thrilled about some of the picks the Lions made versus who they could have had. I liked the picks they made in for round one and two. I felt they picked them higher than where they could have. But at the end of the day, you know, if you get two starters in round one, if you get a starter out of your round one pick, that's good. And I think they got two starters.
Yeah.
If you get a starter in round two, well, I think that's frosting on the cake. And I think they got at least one, maybe two, out of that round. So I didn't like where they picked the guys they got. I do like the guys they got. I just thought they picked them too high, which isn't necessarily anything that's bad. But what I've noticed with the Lions and Brad Holmes, they are picking for culture. And we don't like it because we see talent. We see talent like Jalen Carter, like Tyree Wilson. We see those types of players, and we go, wow, what a tremendous amount of talent. Well, we all know talent isn't the sole indicator of success in the NFL. And the culture that they're trying to build, think about New England all those years. Okay, yeah, you had Tom Brady, but sometimes it was Tom Brady and a bunch of individual people around him just doing their job. And so the culture matters, right. And I think that's why they pick who they pick, and that's why we, the average fan, hate the picks and why we grade them poorly. But at the end of the day, those are actually pretty good picks when you think about it. My only contention was they probably could have waited and gotten Jahmyr Gibbs at number 18. They probably could have waited and gotten Jack Campbell at 34. But you know what? They still got him. And I deep down think they wanted Devon Witherspoon. Seattle takes him, and Brad Holmes didn't hesitate and went to plan B.
And sometimes, Viper, would you say with the player's confidence coming into the NFL, getting drafted, knowing that you're a Jahmyr Gibbs or a Campbell, and you're probably a second, third round somewhere, you get drafted in the first round, you don't think you're hyped to play for that team forever if they'll let you?
You know it. You know
well,
it.
Well, you're Jack
if they
Campbell.
Let you, you'll play there forever.
It is like people are salivating over this guy. They're saying the kid will be special. Think he can run.
I'll say that.
They give him an A+. Yeah. So, hey, look, you got a good linebacker. A good linebacker can do a lot of damage to an offense. And that's what you need,
well,
man.
That pick, you know, the problem with the Lions, which is why I was disappointed that they passed up on the interior defense, the run isn't just stopped at the defensive line. The run is stopped also at the second level. And with the blitzing linebackers and filling a hole, I mean, I remember when the Ravens defense was a monster, okay, way back in the day with Ray Lewis. Well, why was Ray Lewis so good? Because you had Tony Siragusa eating up a bunch of space along the line, and that allowed linebackers like Lewis to go bolting in and make huge stops.
Oh,
and that's what I think the Lions are going to do with this
guy. And they took the Raiders out of the playoffs.
I mean, you can see. Yeah, Tony Siragusa made that happen.
Yeah, he got
but,
a flag.
Yes.
Right. But at the end of the day, Tony Siragusa wasn't the athletic monster like Aaron Donald was, but he ate up space. And think about it. If you get Jack Campbell with his physicality, blitzing and going after that runner going through the line, he's going to put huge hits on people, and that is part of the run defense. It's not just at the defensive line; it's also the secondary. It's also the linebackers. Brian Branch is a huge pick.
The thing is with a defense, you have to start to build pieces. And you have to have, your main pieces in a chess game as compared to your pawn. But Detroit right now is building a team. It's unbelievable. I don't even like saying this. It's sickening.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
that's coming big from you.
It's possible.
It's coming big from you, Chief. I'll tell you.
Here's the thing with Detroit. To finally finish off what their what they're trying to accomplish. I think within they got we're looking at realistically probably 2 or 3 years and where they're going to be. I mean, I think even in this year they're going to be much better. But realistically, 2 years if you're going to be supposedly Super Bowl caliber. Well, at some point they're going to have to find another quarterback other than Goff. And I love Goff, but you need that splash. You need that guy that's going to do those extra things. The guy's going to do those, you know, remarkable plays. You're going to need a little bit of that. But hey, I mean, if they can get it done with Goff, fine. But you know, they're stuck with him, and you know, he's not bad. He doesn't lose the game for you. But does he do the things to win the game for you? Is the question.
You mean by throwing touchdowns and not throwing interceptions, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. We're doing the special.
I think he does that.
I know, but I mean, you can see just little things that, you know. But I mean, I like Goff. Fisher screwed him up. He was not that bad. They didn't give him any training. They didn't give him any coaching. He had to learn to play the game on his own. He never had no help. This is a self-taught guy.
And McVay didn't do much to help because, you know, McVay, I don't like coaches that use players as an excuse for shortcomings, and that's what McVay did. And he undercut Jared Goff. Okay, let's put it in perspective, okay? So everyone's amazed at what Joe Burrow did, right? What did Joe Burrow do? Started in the NFL, coming out of the gate, got injured, came back in year two, and what did he do? He led his team to the Super Bowl, but they lost. It's exactly what Jared Goff did. It's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. He did exactly what Burrow did, but everyone loves Burrow. And so they didn't put a knock on Burrow. You can't win the big one. And by the way, Burrow didn't lose to a Bill Belichick coached defense in the Super Bowl. Jared Goff? How many times has Bill Belichick put together a defense and screwed it up for the other team in the Super Bowl and led to a ring for New England? I mean, Jared Goff should not be thrown under the bus for losing the Super Bowl in year two of his career. That's what doesn't make sense to me. Everyone's like, oh, Burrow. Okay. Jared Goff did the same thing, but he sucks. I mean, where are you pulling this information? You're pulling it from Sean McVay and the Rams thinking that Jared Goff was holding them back. And they might have been right because they won with Matt Stafford. But at the end of the day, Jared Goff still made them competitive enough to be a contender every year and took them to the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't see what the knock is on the guy. I mean, they talk about arm strength. He's got plenty of arm. I know he's got his challenges. He's not mobile and, you know, he's not going to run the ball like Fields and Hurts and even Mahomes sometimes. But you know what? There's plenty of guys that have won a Super Bowl.
What I was saying, it went along with what you were saying with, look what happened when he left and they brought in Stafford and they won a Super Bowl. Well, they didn't just bring in Stafford. They brought in other people too.
No.
You know, so... But, again, I do like Jared Goff, and, you know, he's getting a bad rap for whatever reason. And it's unfair. It really is unfair because a guy's not going to lose you football games. He just, you know, same with Garoppolo. They make such a big deal about Garoppolo. Well, Garoppolo is, you know, he doesn't have that, you know, again, draft day splash, but he doesn't lose the game for you. He keeps you in the game, and that's... You know, but people want that extra, you know, they want that, the highlights. They want the highlight reels. That's what they want. You know, the big fancy plays and the, you know, but, well, hey, look, the Lions are on a good trajectory right now, and they're going to be much more competitive. And in that division that they're in, this is the thing. This is a good year for the Lions. Because that division that they're in, look, the Packers, please, they're going to be, I know you got love and this and that, but they're not going to be very good. You know, they're just not. You get Chicago, that is hopeless. And you got Minnesota, which you're probably not going to beat Minnesota, but you never know, you could. But you're going to be right there, and you stand a really good chance of at least making a wild card. And that's what Detroit needs. They need one playoff win. That right there, that would be a good step forward. That would be a good year for the Lions if they just got one playoff win. That would be a successful season. But I think they could do it this year. I really do. But we'll find out. Tampa Bay tried and huffed. They're going to be awful. That NFC South is going to be terrible. That division is. Well, they were terrible last year. Everyone was 7-10, except for Tampa was 8-9. Well,
it reeked of death.
Seattle, I think, did pretty good. What was that?
That division reeked of death.
Yeah. Seattle, I think, did pretty good. New Orleans might actually be, I think New Orleans and Atlanta actually had a pretty good draft. So I think we're looking, you know, and Carolina, I know they tried to have a good draft. I just don't. Well, again, you never know. You never, never know.
Yeah.
That quarterback could come out to be, you know, lightning. You don't know.
Oh, no.
But no, it's going to be a different season.
Yeah. I think when you're a certain organization, like the Panthers, like the Texans, you're the number one, two position. You have to take, in your mind, the best quarterback at that time that's up on the board. You have to. I mean, you have to take a chance because quarterback is probably the most important position for your franchise to be successful in the NFL, and especially if you're looking just at the AFC, name any playoff team that doesn't have a good quarterback, and you can't name one.
Right.
Yeah.
But is Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud the answer? I don't know. But weren't these two, like, friends as kids growing up?
They were both at the Elite 11 camp in high school, so they were both invited to it.
Right.
But it, you know, it's weird. You know, you look at these guys, like sometimes in the NBA or the NCAA college basketball. They're not facing each other for the first time when they're on the opposite team. I mean, they've seen each other on the AAU courts. They battled against each other at the AAU level because they're all playing each other. And, you know, it's just an extension of what they grew up with, and they know who each other is. I mean, they're competitive. They know who their competition is, and if nothing else, through the recruiting process. You know, you think Stroud and Young weren't recruited, you know, against each other. I think they're in the same class. I might be wrong, but if they're in the same class, they knew who each other was because they were getting recruited by all the top schools, getting all the letters and all the phone calls, and they're telling them, you're in my top five, and the other school's telling them, well, you're in my top five. Well, who are your top five? But then they're going to have that conversation. So it's – they know who each other is, and some of them end up being best friends. Some end up being bitter rivals, but there's no mystery. They know who each other is because there's no mystery. They're all getting recruited.
But do you think it's going to be worse for C.J. Stroud compared to Bryce Young being in the AFC and just having to deal with all that? I mean, it took literally a Trevor Lawrence from Jacksonville to make an impact. So,
well, again, at least Houston is trying. They're going scorched earth this year and going for broke. They're not going to have any draft picks for the next couple of years. But they're at least hoping that this draft will carry them for the next couple of years with the guys that they got. And I see what they're doing because, look, what is it going to hurt? Houston has been in the dregs for how many years? So why not just go for it?
Right.
You know, just go for it. It doesn't matter whether you win or you lose because you've been losing for decades now. Just go for it. So
I think the Houston Texans were incepted 1990, and they have 4 playoff wins, and the Detroit Lions have 1.
Yep. Well, I think this
might
have be
the zero.
Year for Detroit.
They have 0 compared to the Texans' lifespan.
Right.
So the Texans have been around since 1990.
Sorry.
Yeah, there's 0 wins for the Lions. So, no, and I don't blame the Texans for doing what they did. But was it just me, guys? Did the Texans and their draft day movements closely resemble draft day with Kevin Costner? Or is it just me?
No, because I watch that every
everybody's
day.
Been
I watch
watching
it before, and
come on.
No, you're absolutely right. It had that feel to it. I still think they need to draft
a great movie if you want to watch something about the NFL draft and you think you know anything about football. That's a great movie.
Well, I watch it.
Yeah.
It's tradition. I've been doing this for years now since the movie came out. I watch it on draft day, and then I watch the draft. And I think they need to do a draft day, too, because, maybe Kevin Costner's still in it, or maybe he's not. It doesn't matter, but they need another one. They definitely need another one.
The best moment is when he's got the Seattle general manager on the phone trying to make a deal with Bo. For the pick. He wants his pick back. He just called Jacksonville. And then when everybody, even the owner, wants to fire him, they're all yelling at him. He's on that call.
Yeah.
And then at like the 5-minute mark, he's on pause and he puts up a number one, like his finger number one. But it means a lot of different things in culture. And all of a sudden, you wait for it, and you're like, this guy just landed it. It was amazing.
He's got the owner in his face ready to fire him on the spot. And he's got the Seattle GM on a phone call. Yeah.
Come on, Tom. Say it with me, you pancake-eating blah, blah, blah. And, that was the best line.
You're going to save yourself $7 million this year,
exactly.
Tom.
You can save Seattle football. Come on, man. Yeah, well, there could be a little bit of that. Again, I would – and what was up with Jerry Jones's war room? Oh, my God. That looked like – ay, ay, ay.
He wasn't on a yacht this year? I guess that's over.
Well, it looked like –
when he drove from the yacht.
the war room looked like a from a movie, The Real Bad Guys, where they have all their generals are sitting around.
Dr.
And, Dr. Evil is exactly what it looked like from,
Oh, I was ready to break out my Al Pacino. Hey, take a good look at the bad guy. Take a look at the bad guy. You never seen a bad guy like me.
Oh, I like that movie, man. That was a good movie.
Every book out of the day.
Yeah, but
I am the show's impressionist caller, in case you haven't listened. I'm the impression maker.
Yeah. I better stick with that on my own show, then. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. So I came in late, obviously, but did we talk about any predictions on the bust of the year? I mean, who do we think's in the bust? Mine's easy.
Mine is Stroud. I don't have any faith in the kid at all. I just don't.
Yeah.
Seth, who do you think the bust of the draft is?
It's going
to
be
probably
weird.
We'll have to keep it in the first round, I think.
Me wrong. Out of spite because he's listening. Jalen Carter.
Interesting.
That's
a possibility.
Just something about whatever is going on with him as a person and as an athlete. Like, people would have never said Tony Mandarich would be a bust. People would have never said Brian Bosworth would have been a bust. Jalen Carter.
Well, Jalen Carter's got a lot of off-the-field issues, and that does affect. And if he gets, arrested or this or that or whatever, it could be, he's a defensive lineman. So if he can, he's 6'3", 310 pounds. That's a big, big kid. So if he can keep his nose clean, but I know what you're saying, though, Seth. So what's yours, Viper?
I think mine's easy. I think the Indianapolis are going to regret.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to regret April 24th. I think they're going to regret it. I look at Anthony Richardson. He's got a small body of work, and that body of work didn't win a Hall. People are comparing him to Jalen. They think they've got Jalen Hurts, okay? Jalen Hurts won football games at the highest level in college football, not just at Alabama, but Oklahoma too. That guy has a pedigree with a large sample size body of work. Anthony Richardson has 13 games.
Yep.
You're telling me you're going to bet the franchise on some guy that has played 13 games. I think he's the fool's gold of the draft. He's Jamarcus Russell. He's Jameis Winston. He's Johnny Manziel. He's the fool's gold that everyone bid on because he ran a good 40 time, and he's a big dude.
That's what all of the comments are on all the grading is they're all saying this should have been Will Levis, meaning Will Levis should have got this pick. And they're saying that this guy is either going to be a boom or a bust. And that's
right.
What it is. He's going to be a boom or a bust. And he's with the Colts, so he'll probably be a bust.
In all honesty, you don't know whether your first round up to your seventh round pick is ever going to materialize to anything. So it's all a gamble. So if you go gamble, why not go all in on that poker table and say, hey, if this kid's a bust, that's no big deal, because if he is the real deal, I just stole him. I stole him.
So, caller, who's your bust?
Yeah, maybe.
I've got to go over just on that one. Inexperienced, with that. I think Indianapolis Colts are going to be for a very rude awakening once the season begins.
Yeah.
I just think the level of the NFL versus playing in Florida, which, yes, it's SEC, but they were not the elite program when he was there. He sat behind Trask. What's that guy done? I mean, you got to have a couple of elements, but ultimately you got to understand the quarterback. And I know why they picked him. They hired the OC from the Eagles, and I'm sure the OC from the Eagles loves to have a physical running quarterback, because that's what he won with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he had impact on that pick. I'm guarantee it. He goes, I want a guy like Jalen Hurts because I won with Jalen Hurts. Well, I personally don't think this is the same. They're not the same player. They've got maybe the same physical attributes, but they're not the same player.
Definitely not.
Well, Gardner Minshew,
yeah.
I think, you're going to have it's going to be a competition between Minshew and Richardson, and we'll find out. Minshew was going to be a lot better, but he never could materialize for whatever reason. They still got Nick Foles.
Might be the modern day Fitzmagic.
Well, he's been all over the place.
Don Mikowski magic.
Oh, when the
that's a name from the past, right?
So happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Colts.
That's crazy.
But he went to the Raiders, and I was like, oh, my God. Are you serious? Yeah.
The one thing I'm looking down here, and I'm looking at the roster with the Colts, and I'm seeing a lot. They're very young. This is a very, very young team. Probably the youngest
team.
Yeah,
that's working against Richardson, too. He's going into a situation. Like, let's put it this way. Like I said at the beginning, Will Levis should be thankful that he didn't get Indianapolis. He really should. Because he's got a shot. He has a real – he lost a shit ton of money. Okay. But he's got a shot to actually have an NFL career. And what he lost dropping in the draft, he may end up making tenfold by actually having some longevity in his career. That's what I think.
You know, and I think it's a pretty good fit that he comes over to Tennessee. And again, it's all going to be on, you know, their coaching, how they can train this kid. And, you know, he's not going to learn much from Tannehill, but if they can train him.
No, he'll learn.
Right. You know, he can learn. I mean, and it's a good fit. And you're right. You go to Indianapolis, and they're going to expect you to win, and you ain't, because Indianapolis doesn't have a team. They're a mess. I mean, do they even have a head coach yet? Is it Saturday still?
Yeah, I told you.
Yeah.
No, they hired the OC from Philadelphia after the Super Bowl.
I did not know that. Oh, okay.
I can't remember his name, but I remember he looks like he's 12 years old. And he also looks like he's never played a down in the NFL. He looks like a skater in all honesty. He looks like a skateboarder.
Well, look at the guy.
He looks more like Tony Hawk.
Is he even a vape on the sideline?
Yeah, he looks like Tony Hawk.
Well, the guy with Dallas, what was his name? He looked like Howdy Doody. He looked real young. I mean.
Jason Garrett.
He looked real, real young when he started. It was like, oh my God.
At least he was a quarterback.
Yeah.
Right. No kidding.
Well, look at the guy in Miami. I mean, he doesn't look like a football coach.
That's what I'm saying, Mike McDaniel. Yeah, hitting a vape on the sideline.
But hey. Looks are deceiving. It matters what you do on the field. It doesn't matter what you look like, anything. So, no, that's a good fit for, and I'm glad Levis got it. He can keep his girlfriend for a while, but.
Oh, no, and you have to make a move as a player from your life personally. You have to go from Kentucky to Tennessee. That's not that hard of a transition for you.
No.
Personally. No.
It's going to be the same lifestyle, the same people, the same everything. Trust me. All of a sudden you're a kid like Zach Wilson, and then you go to New York City. You better be ready for that city, because that city is going to eat you up.
New York's hard to play in.
Next week. That's it.
New York is a very tough
town. You've got to be able to handle that town. You really do. I mean, there's a handful of places in sports where if you're on the certain team in a certain position, you've got a lot of pressure on you. And every sport's a little bit different. Every town's a little bit different because there's some sort of tradition or history to that town and to that sports team. For New York, it's just being in New York. It's just hard because you've got a huge media market putting a microscope on you every single day, and it is hard.
Every hour on the hour.
And I think all the people that are on the line right now that we've all lived in New York or part New Yorkers or whatever it is, and so when you're there, I mean, the second that you're on the clock, you are a part of that world. for attention. You're going to get attention whether you want it or not. You want to hide? I mean, you want to be Derek Jeter and have private parties and have everybody put away their cell phone? You can do that. Other than that, good luck. It's a totally different environment. Completely.
Way too different.
Well, guys, I hate to break up this party, but they're going to cut us off here in just a little over a minute. I want to thank everybody that was listening. We had some people in the chat room. And thank you, caller, for calling in. Make sure you call in again. Listen to us again. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. We're trying to build the show back up.
I have a podcast, too. You can check out my show on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and put in the Enhanced Sports Show, and you'll see me on there. I just did the show about a couple of hours ago.
Really? Okay.
Awesome.
What's it again?
Let's build a network.
The Enhanced Sports Show. Now, that's with an E, not with an I, so let's get that straight right now.
Okay.
So people get that confused. The number should be on the bottom of the screen when you go into it. And I'll tell you the number, and I'll tell you the time, and I'll tell you the time and everything on the show. But remember, I'm wearing headphones, so you will not hear the other callers on the show. That's just in case they do any stupid things like background noise or say those seven dirty words you can't say on the air. You know, you'll get that kind of stuff.
So the Enhanced Sports Show?
The Enhanced Sports Show.
There it is. Okay, I got you.
Okay. That's my producer. That's my producer.
Okay. Well, we used to be on YouTube for a while, but no, I like what Viper was saying. Yeah, we should work on building a network.
Yeah. But I'm not connected with Blog Talk, but I'm no stranger to Blog Talk either. I've been a part of Blog Talk for the last 7-8 years.
Well, we can do whatever, Blog Talk or YouTube. It doesn't really matter. I'm not picky. We're just trying to build our audience back up because we were off of Blog Talk for a while. So we're trying to.
You were on Friday nights, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I knew you.
Yeah. So, we've been doing this for over 10 years now. So, okay, they are getting ready to cut me off. Again, I apologize. Thank you, caller. And let's call back in again next week and let's keep it touch, see what we can do. Thank you, Viper, and thank you as always, Seth. And all right, and everybody have a good week. They're cutting us off. So good night, everybody.
Good night.
You feel that?